Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. As always, we're here until the hour of six, your drive time show. Now, when you are changing gears and doing all that, assuming there are people that are still changing gears in the, you know, these days.
Yes, yes, here's one. Here's one. Helmut, please.
He's still changing gears.
Please do not slander us. Do not slander us. We are Puritans. We believe in manual transmission.
You believe in, being flexing, in control.
Yeah, flexing the muscles and still developing your calf muscles, you know. You must have a clutch. Have you ever seen the meme about that shows the legs of the lower legs of a manual car driver and an automatic car driver?
What's that about?
Well, if people that have manual transmissions in their car, they've always got, you know, well-developed calf muscles, you know. It looks like an athlete. Because... And if you're an automatic car driver, it's like, you know, those guys that forgot leg day.
Really?
I know, it's mean, it's a mean joke, but still, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah, I know, but, well, we let's introduce you to our first commercial break.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. That's why we're committed to bringing you lower prices on all the essentials you need. Like 2kg Rite brand golden brown sugar for only $37.99 each. And 5kg top score super maize meal for only $69.99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 22 June 2025. Only at ShopRite.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is EagleFM.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Welcome back, and we are 15 minutes to the hour of five. I almost say to the hour of six, because that's how much I want
to... You want to fast forward?
Fast forward. And today's discussion is one... just want to fast forward because I'm really out of energy. That's my another way of saying I'm hungry. So let's talk about energy. Now, this is energy in light of the recently held, 10th annual global conference on energy efficiency. Now, for those of you that saw our poster, then you saw that there's some SDG 7 reference going on there.
Yeah.
Now, SDG 7 is one of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, of which we are in social media terms, basically in literal terms, we are subscribers of. And now here's the thing. This that's one of the most that's one of the most difficult goals to basically achieve, because what you're looking at is to provide before 2030, to provide universal coverage in terms of, to provide a reliable, not just energy, but energy that is reliable, sustainable, and modern.
Yes.
And also because of the Paris agreements, factor in clean energy in there. So this is a form of energy that must be clean, reliable, sustainable, and given to everyone. Now,
and it should be used. Remember the word efficiently.
Efficiently. Now, that efficient part is one I think that, at first I was like, you know what? I have a very big problem with this whole conference. And then I was, I decided to basically remind myself that I'm not an energy expert. Mm. So I can't have problems. I can only have a lot of questions. Now, here's a question, because when you look at it, a few weeks ago we talked about the use of AI in energy, the use of AI in energy. I was supposed to start, dude. You're not helping. I didn't know legs for, can fall pregnant, but, now, what was it? artificial intelligence, the application, the use of artificial intelligence in energy generation. I think that discussion also came out of the International Energy Agency.
Yeah.
And as this conference that took place from the 12th to the 13th of this month.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, the International Energy Agency, you know, just earlier this year also had a conference where they talked about the use of AI in energy generation. And one thing that I remember, I think that was, that Grossi pointed out was, energy generation facilities are becoming more and more complicated by the day. As in everything else around us, we always figure out a way to make it better and, you know, and more safer. And with that, obviously, we have to add on sensors pretty much everywhere. Now, what we are looking at is a lot of complicated systems where, you know, human sight and ears, more like senses to keep the whole thing in check,
yeah,
is not enough. We need to apply artificial intelligence. Then after that, we talked about, we had another discussion, in the same area of energy, but that one was about, just how much of an energy guzzling development artificial intelligence is.
Actually is, yeah.
Yeah.
Now. And it comes from the same agency.
Yeah.
They did that analysis before this particular conference of last week.
Yeah.
Where they looked at the uses, and remember what some of it was.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, these data centers that the AIs run on.
Data centers.
Actually, in some cases, eat as much power as
a small city, yeah.
Now that obviously means, firstly, you also have to improve on the energy efficiency, mm-hmm, starting from the technologies that you employ.
So you must, develop the energy sources in the very, at the same pace that you're developing the
technology
that's consuming or that needs, that relies on the energy to function.
Yeah.
There's just one problem though in this department though, because one thing we can, we see, especially in the tech industry is that, we keep coming up with the most efficient, we keep making our electronic devices more complicated, but the battery technology is still very problematic in terms of how fast does it last, which is the reason why we are seeing the rise in fast charging technology in the first place.
Mm.
But fast charging technology on its own also has its pros and cons. For one, most electronic devices these days, especially smartphones, have fast charging technology. But that does not increase, and we have seen more like an increase in cell phone battery capacity.
Mm.
Yeah, now we're looking at smartphones that are rocking 500-600 milliamps, milliamps of battery.
Mm.
It's 500 milliamps. If you just use any charger, that thing is going to take forever. So you need a fast charger. But that does not, when it comes to the, not the capacity, just how long it remains charged is a whole different discussion. Because if you have a smartphone that has a 500 milliamps and it has one of those fancy bright displays, that thing is consuming energy.
Yeah.
And now you have animated wallpapers. You are not helping.
Well, you're speaking on a consumer level thing as well.
Yeah.
Remember, if we roll back to the AI thing of things, factor that AI computing, because remember, that's what an AI does. It mm-hmm. computes, it calculates, and then it runs on its algorithm.
Yeah.
Now factor in the organizations that are plugged into that AI. It could be a factory that has robotics running in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember, a human runs on human energy. All you need to do is the person needs to eat, drink water, be able to go to the toilet and come back. Rest their legs a little bit and come back. A robot or a robot or an automated manufacturing assembly line runs 24/7. You know that human, and just like the discussion when we did that analysis of the ECB stakeholder engagement of last year, where the independent power producer was asked, when do people need energy? At night. Do you have battery technology? No, I don't. You're supposed to help NamPower become efficient so that NamPower can rely on independent power producers. NamPower switches off its own, let's say, its own turbines, so that it rests and for service and all that, and then they pull from the guys that are the independent power producers. And what happened earlier this year, Helmut, when we had that particular discussion, once again, where NamPower this again presented their side in terms of what they wanted. Remember, they presented for 14% increase.
Yeah.
Ne? They presented it. And then the gentleman, the lady from NamPower that presented, highlighted that the independent power producers don't want to sell to you and me, which makes it, once again, inefficient. They want to sell it into the SADC power pool.
And you can't blame them. There's a lot of money there.
It's a new, the lot of money is only in currency.
International trading currency, US
yeah,
dollar.
Because it'll be US dollar. Ah. So it's a get-rich-quick perspective. We'll call it what it is. This is literally like them seeing the little leprechaun in Irish folklore. The little leprechaun at the end of the rainbow, and they go like, I want your pot of gold. Give me the pot of gold. They don't want to go and look at the mine and then mine the gold out. So it's a snap, crackle and pop situation.
Well, but look, we can't blame them. I mean, most farmers are already doing that in terms of, especially in the, those ones that are farming in beef.
Yes, the ones that are farming in beef, and that's obviously also with a discussion of how you can view how Meatco's position also slightly weakened. Mm-hmm. Remember that a lot of those farmers, most of those farmers worked through Meatco. And then for some reason, there was some sort of a politics happening between the state and the executives that are with Meatco. And I remember that was in the 20-teens, before COVID. And then things just went sideways, and some of the private farmers went because it was a discussion of lowering the allocation, the price per kilogram mm-hmm. to the farmer. That was being lowered. And then some of those guys just said, okay, sharp. If you don't value us as local producers and we don't see value for our dollar and our inputs, mm-hmm. we will establish our own enterprises. And so two of them popped up. Actually, three. There's one at Swakopmund now, an abattoir, a private abattoir facility that supplies inland. There is the other guy. I won't mention the names because I won't mention the name. There's one here from the east.
Well, then otherwise, we'll have to send them an invoice.
Then there's one from Okahania or Ochvarongo, I think. And then the guys in the Rehoboth, the farmers around the Rehoboth area, also decided to establish their own abattoir. Now, if you realize, Helmut, that fragmentation, because fragmentation would have implied that
they're coming together
again. Yeah. Yeah. So fragmentation, and that word that we almost mentioned does not exist. The fragmentation and analysis that you can see there is literally how Meatco's market share got split up. Now, it doesn't cost anything, Helmut, for a farmer here in a livestock farmer to call a meat supplier, not a meat supplier, someone that buys meat from South Africa, to call them and ask them, listen, we have an enterprise, a cooperative. We want to sell you. We want to export meat to you.
Is that easy?
What standards do you want and what should we work with? And that's it. There's no unnecessary politics around selling a product. And that's the downside of this thing, of the Namibian economy. That's the heartbreaking side of this thing.
Okay, now why haven't the energy guys come up with the same, ecumenical movement of some sort? Like, you know what, let's just come together, put our energy, sources together and supply into a market of our choice. Or does it boil down to the where are you storing it when it's the source is not available, aka the sun, the wind?
Okay, so Hamoud, let me start from a very micro level. So remember at the end of last month when I complained about the geyser I had to install at home?
Yeah, I remember that one.
So I was, just as someone that likes information, I just perused through overall geyser settings and prices throughout Namibia. I went from small gas-powered geysers to large solar panel-powered geysers. And in between, you find the electricals. On one spectrum, you've got the nuclear bomb either underneath your basin or outside your house, which is the gas-powered geyser.
Nuclear bomb.
Then you've got the bankrupting you electric geyser. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the, very friendly but rather very fragile solar panel geyser.
Yeah.
Why do I say the solar panel geyser is fragile?
Yeah.
I've got a neighbor for the past 10 years, I've seen, and there were various neighbors that moved into that same house.
Yeah.
For the past 10 years, I've seen them every winter, the pipes burst. Because it's on a roof. The geyser and the solar panels stand on a roof.
Yeah.
It's on a roof. The pipes are attached to the roof. So during the day when the sun shines, that poor pipe is exposed to extreme heat conditions.
Yeah.
It cools down in extreme cold conditions and during winter and at night. So the wear and tear on the, on something like the pipe.
Yeah, over expansion and over cooling.
Yeah, over expansion, over contraction, sometimes melting, sometimes tearing open because of the extremes.
Yeah.
That poor plastic pipe keeps, you know, baking itself to death on that roof.
Yeah.
That's now, you know, factoring in the pun of to death. Not because the pipe is not a living thing, guys. Sorry. And once again, I'm highlighting to you that it's not efficient, the inefficiency in the process, because the disconnect here is where do you ultimately sort of like allow the wastage? In manufacturing, you call it waste because it is a waste to the consumer. The consumer wants to see a product last. Hamid, do you know that there is no designated time frame of when a geyser gives in? The guy that installed the geyser for me at the end of last month told me, I asked him, listen, my guy, how can I preempt
the lifespan of this thing?
Yeah, preempt. And he said, you'll just have to replace when it decides to go. So on your rainy day, bruh, when that thing starts leaking water and everything and bursting and falling apart there on the side of your house, which could be 20 years from now, or which could be next year even, depends. There is no certainty. So it then gets us back to our discussion right here. You asked about electricity.
Yeah.
So I gave you the spectrum of the various geyser products. The solar panel geyser, Hamid, with the geyser at one outlet here in Windhoek costs 20,000. That is besides the installation.
That's the one that's busting every 5 minutes?
Yes. Because you're leaving it out in the sun. 20 grand, Hamid. 20 grooters, Helmut. Just to buy the thing. You didn't even pay anyone to install the thing. Now remember, it's guys like that, that Nampower wants to buy from. So if you're a mall, like there's one of the malls here in Windhoek, I also won't say which mall. There's a shopping complex, another one in Kommersdal, I also won't identify the name. Actually, no, I will. They're a client of ours. The Commerce Grove Mall, where you find Woermanbrock Hyper Inn. They've got solar panels on that complex. Straightforward stuff. So the amount of sun exposure that complex, for example, has, it allows them to be able to sell directly to Nampower. They can pull. Nampower can pull from them. But it's just, it was a scenario of saying, let's just install for the sake of installing. And we don't have battery technology to store the power that we
generate.
So
it's just
it's like a live connection.
Power supply.
No, it's like a live connection, but only during daytime.
Oh.
So let's say when the power switches off or there's a power outage at night and no one is there at the complex, unfortunately, a backup generator gets switched on, which still is also an inefficient process because you're supposed to have like this complete circle, insulated process to say, when the lights go off or when there's a power outage, it kicks in. This particular technology kicks in. Which is the particular highlight that I provide, dear listeners, in terms of you've got to look at things in a micro sense to realize, oh, this is how the inefficiencies actually translate in your locality, in your economy. And Namibia has a lot of those particular things. The inefficiencies. We've got a lot of them. Except for when it comes to water. Oh, we're very good at saving water.
Are we?
Yeah. I mean, we are even pre-installed, Hamid, where your parents beat you up to tell you don't play with water.
That one is.
Yeah, so you are literally pre-installed with the discipline.
Okay, here's the thing. from the early days of now, when you look at more like a global energy discussion, one thing that you see is that from an early, from the early days of the, climate mitigation strategies that countries must come up with to combat climate change.
Mm.
One thing that we've always battled is that our biggest and most reliable sources of energy are ones that are mostly, they are mostly non-clean sources. You have fossil fuel.
Yeah,
you have fossil fuel, and then a most debatable one that was actually very one of the most highly debatable sources of energy in terms of whether it's clean or not is nuclear.
Yeah.
That was, with uranium as a main source of that fuel and the possibility of it being weaponized, considering what's going on in the Middle East, that's a very interesting discussion, although that's more political. But the Chinese have been exploring thorium as an alternative to to uranium. It's considered much less dangerous in terms of a mushroom cloud, and also more easy to deal with.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, that breakthrough, first of all, it's a very good one. It's a very good one. The only question is, what will that do to the uranium market? But,
it's not just the uranium market. You touched on what happened over this past weekend. I mean, John Stewart was going like, we were still trying to roast Trump and his military parade, and then Israel and Iran. And the unfortunate thing now to share with the listeners now is that Mariano Grossi from
International Energy. Yes.
Is it Mariano or is it Rafael? But anyway, from the IAEA, Israel hit one of the nuclear sites of Iran. And what it sounds like is they are still expecting further analysis to understand whether or not there might be possible radioactive leakage from one of the nuclear power stations of Iran. There was another one that was also hit. And then he highlighted even further, Helmut, that the fear is not radiation leakage or exposure for any security personnel, meaning respondents that have to go and clean up the site. It's the possible chemical exposure, because a lot of these enriched uranium nodes.
Like the fuel cells.
The fuel cells.
Yeah.
Are treated in specific chemically induced water. And they have to assess leakages as well as also, the potential chemical exposure to a human if a human has to go in there to try and clean up whatever, damage had been caused by the Israelis.
Yeah.
The weird side of this is that it does not make the debate any safer for nuclear energy, because you can literally just see from that example. Yeah. All it took for Israel was to hang drones up high in the sky and decided to bomb energy targets of Iran.
Yeah.
And that happened, Helmut, after Grossi's press conference of last
Monday. Yeah, the one where he couldn't say what documents he was getting.
Of last Monday. Yeah. Just for me to see him respond in a press conference this morning, we are in communication 24/7 with the Iranian authorities about, possible leakage and how to best contain any particular. And I was like, yeah, my guy, you now have to explain to the IAEA board as to what Israel is busy committing, because it was his press conference of last week. And it's based upon that the Israelis attacked Iran. It's literally because of that press conference, Ahmad. A question was asked, he confirmed something, and we the rest of the world, apparently, Ahmad, there are documents, there are nuclear science documents that the rest of the world must not know of. And these are documents submitted by each country that is a nuclear power. Meaning, the US can't sit with Namibian documents.
Nuclear documents.
Yeah.
Is this nuclear as in energy generation or in kaboom?
I think it's in both capacities.
So I can't sit with your...
You may not sit with my documents.
As long as it's nuclear, it doesn't matter whether it's enrichment,
friendly
or weaponization,
or
energy generation.
Yeah. You may not... Apparently there are documents that countries may not have of each other's nuclear sciences. And I never knew that because I thought the world of science and the realm of science, specifically
exchange
in the
knowledge, I don't know.
Especially in the realm of academia, is that knowledge sharing is the ethos, is literally the foundation that you build from.
Okay, so.
It's because of his press conference of last week.
Okay, so the nuclear. Okay, what type of documents was Homeboy having though? And now, if no country can, is the international, at least, Atomic Energy Agency or International Energy Agency allowed to access these, all documents from different countries that are running nuclear programs?
Okay, let me explain it like this. Remember the nationally determined contributions for the climate change?
Yeah.
The promises that Namibia made.
Yeah.
Now, that's a publicly available document hosted on a UN website, ne?
Mm-hmm.
Now, imagine that UN website is the IAEA website.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that you cannot view Namibia's document on that website. That document cannot be loaded there.
Now that I didn't know.
And I didn't know that, yeah. But before that, ad break.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge. As we invest in time on our network enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage. For the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply. Always prepare.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo duto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge kwa tafanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora itatu imwe mbali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, nora itatu natu, bali o itatu matatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. We're still on energy efficiency. Now, this is a conference that was held this month, last week?
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, last week. And, this was the 10th conference where the International Energy, the International Energy Agency is calling for, governments across the planet to start using energy efficiently. And come up with more measures to basically, more efficient ways of generating energy.
Mm.
Now, not generating, rather using energy. But, here's another discussion though, because, again, you see that, balancing, universal provision, cost effectiveness where everyone, because if, if you're going to give everyone energy, you are talking about people with different sources of income, that are earning different amounts, levels, or more like in amounts of money per month or per year, per month salaries or per week for wages. If you're going to provide energy for everyone, that is going to raise a lot of questions over what is going to be a university? Are you going to subsidize for people at, from a certain level of income? And now, and this is the same thing that we see with, take for example, institutions like NASFAF.
Mm.
Not just everyone can be funded. At least last time I checked, NASOF's requirement is that you must come from a background where, for example, your parents must earn a certain level of income. Anything above that, they might start saying, you know what, you don't fall in a category of the people that are supposed to be our beneficiaries.
Mm.
Because it seems like, well, you are from a well-off family. But, from a certain amount and lower, then you can qualify. And this is the same thing, again, even if you talk about, take for example, universal income grant, this is not an amount of money that you are just going to give to everyone. Obviously, unless you have a lot of it. Yeah, you are going to come up with a requirement that for those ones that earn this amount of money, you are going to be subsidized with this amount of money per month by the government.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of energy, balancing providing energy and the cost effectiveness and the reliability of it and for everyone, that's a mammoth task. But the good thing is over 47 government representatives that were in attendance actually said, well, that's a good idea, and we totally agree. Now, one thing we know about not just the international but local agreements, and you see this even on a platonic friendship level or any type of human relationship, is that agreeing to do something is one thing, but putting it in practice is a whole different ballgame. Now, we're talking about only 40 plus. Less than 50, government representatives that were there. According to their website, countries around the world have backed the economic and social sustainability advantages of energy efficiency in a joint statement used at the International Energy Agency's annual global conference on the issue in Brussels. In Brussels, ministers and senior officials representing 47 governments reaffirmed. Excellent. Now, I'm not an expert, and I already want to have a headache.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, imagine the guys that will be behind the implementation. Southern African countries, for example, like throwing Namibia, South Africa, Zambia, Angola. Was that last year or the year before when the Zambian government declared drought state of emergency, and then we came shortly after that?
Yeah.
Now, the drought, obviously, if you generate a lot of energy from hydroelectricity, means when there's a drought, the water levels drop, and when the water levels drop, so does the current. And if the current drops, obviously the power of that water to push the turbines to generate enough electricity also drops. So, what are the more like backup plans to sort of like mitigate all these, ups and downs that comes? And this is energy we are talking about.
Mm.
Yeah. There's a lot of science that's involved. There's no doubt there are a lot of experts that are involved into sort of like, dealing with it. But, one thing. During the weekend.
Yeah.
That the Indian government have decided to do one of the scariest things any government of India can actually embark on. Census. They've been pushing it since 2021, last time I checked. They have to count 1.4 billion people according to their previous statistics. Now, you are asking India to provide energy efficiently.
Why are you saying it's a scary time? Do you know how big are their local governments, Hamud? I'm talking local governments,
uh-huh.
Not the national government.
How big are they?
It's her. Hamud. Earlier this year when I went to a particular press conference by the High Commissioner of India here in Windhoek,
mm-hmm.
when he announced high education bursaries to India.
Yeah.
So I poked questions to ask, is it just specific universities? How many universities? No, the prospective Namibian student can choose from 1,000 universities. I was like, what? Say that again.
1,000?
Yeah.
Universities?
And that's just for science and technology. We're not even on the second.
We're not in medicine.
We're not even on the second. No, medicine is in science. We're not even on the humanities courses. Which is another one of their bursary programs. Which is to hundreds of institution. I was like, what? Wait, what?
The good thing is they have the landmass.
Yeah, they've got the landmass.
They have the landmass.
They also have the culture, because remember, India is one of the countries that also invented or contributed towards modern mathematics.
Yeah.
And modern scientific thinking.
Yep.
Remember, they were the ones that influenced the Arabs. The Arabs influenced the Romans. The Indians...
So the Romans, the British, then everyone else.
The Indians influenced the...
Ottomans?
No. The Chinese on the other end. Mm-hmm. There was a Chinese... There's also a proven Chinese contribution into mathematics. But the Indians learned from... the ancient Indians learned from another civilization. They learned from someone else as well. But it was sort of like you were thinking of one side of mathematics in your isolation. Someone else was thinking about it. For example, like pi. Mm-hmm. Helmut, ask yourself, how are we still using a 3,000 to 4,000 year old standard in mathematics?
Yeah, from Greeks, like that,
from Greeks that lived back then. They didn't go to university. They were just sitting there thinking, you know what? Why does my foot pain? And then they think up hypothesis.
Man, I like people during those days. Look, I think those guys were strong. Look, we're talking about the time when the only painkiller they had was bite on this.
Yeah, and then they drill something in your skull.
You know, be a man. That's the only painkiller they had. There ain't no way that's happening. Now.
Make the right choice. Deal with the pain. That's the joke that, what's that American, the Canadian stand-up comedian, Russell Peters was told. He walked into a business owned by a Chinese businessman and he tried to haggle for price. He said the worst combination is having an Indian trying to buy from a Chinese guy. It's like the two worst, you know, business
transaction
you will ever find, because an Indian is always looking for a discount and a Chinese guy is always not willing to give a discount. And then the Chinese guy told him, be a man, do the right thing, pay the $5. Yeah.
Really? That's your motivation? Be a man,
pay the $5.
Yeah. That has nothing to do with masculinity. I want to get $3.
It also has nothing to do with energy efficiency.
speaking of energy efficiency, again, the IEA points out that in their statement, ministers pledged to place people at the center of clean energy transition and to focus on energy efficiency policies at their fair benefit that are fair, benefit everyone, and leave no one behind. That's the universal coverage part of it. Now, which in itself is a very good thing, until you get to the point where you begin to realize that our technology is advancing really fast. Like we talked about this when we, you know, in the AI discussion, technology in terms of electronic devices and how smart we are making everything. Now we have smartphones, smart cars, smart everything around us. That means they have a lot of functionalities. Now, with functionalities, obviously, comes energy consumption. Except one of the reasons why we're finding it difficult to transition to green sources of energy is because, the green sources of energy are still under, they're still, they still need a lot of improvements.
Mm.
Now, because of a lot of improvements, and again, this is not something new. An internal combustion engine in your car, for example, did not change overnight from the early 1800s to what it is, from the late 1800s, right, to what it is today. A lot of changes have taken place into making it better year by year. So that means all the green energy sources we have, we can't dismiss them. Because, our goal is to, is to combat climate, to combat climate. Now, the question here that comes is, one, how long is it going to take for solar energy or wind energy, for example, to reach the level of reliability and efficiency that, fossil fuel energy sources are? That's a multi-million-dollar question. Now, because if you're going to provide, take, for example, here locally, let's provide, you know, let's provide universal, you know, energy, you know, universal electrification. Then you're looking into one question. Where are we getting it from? Because we're still importing like a lot of it.
But the universal access to electricity, for example, let's say in Namibia, will actually help with urban-rural migration trends. Because if you realize you have electricity in your village, why would you have a need to move to the town? And if water connection and electricity connection and other particular service provision is brought to your village, why would you move to the town? Now, that explainer that I'm highlighting there, keeping people hanging, obviously, is it helps to stop a negative economic trend that Namibia is experiencing already.
Yeah.
Meaning expensive property prices.
Energy prices. Oh, wait,
expensive in the sense of that everyone in Namibia knows that the local authorities are very slow to supply residential property.
Mm-hmm.
And the residential property comes at a premium price. Everyone knows it in Namibia. Mm. It's not rocket science. The downside is here, Helmut. It's very slow. It'll take you 78 years to get access to a plot if you don't have money at hand. So if you do have money, you are literally at the front of the line. But if you're there on we still don't know what that particular list was or what it looked like, which is quoted as being 300,000, you know, the housing backlog of 2018 or 2019, the housing backlog. It should obviously tell anyone that 300,000 is obviously increased. So what is the rate of supply versus the rate of demand? The rate of demand can be someone that finishes high school today, someone that gets promoted into a nice cushy position at their company, someone that gets access to a lot of money, someone that wants to start a business and they have access to money. Now, that also speaks to one other thing, access to opportunities of this particular scenario. Because this energy efficiency scenario that these countries are talking about, in the joint statement that they authored, they highlight that humans, people, must be at the center of the planning. It shouldn't be you are planning for the independent power producers of your economy. Because those guys can determine whatever price they're going to sell to a NamPower. They can determine whatever price they're going to sell.
In their statement, ministers pledged that pledged to place people at the center of the at the center, like
they must be the reason why you are improving your efficiency,
not profit.
Shouldn't be a profit-driven discussion.
Oh, that's
I know, Hamut, but I have also been a proponent of a strengthened position of the mixed economy. You can't say absolutely that the private sector must run everything, because then you will have rampant inequalities. Actually, we will increase the inequalities in our country.
Yeah.
And if you say the state must be involved in everything, then you'll have sluggish service provision and sluggish performances. There will be no innovation taking place. I mean, even look at the level of ultimately how the innovation supposedly is taking place in Namibia, in the public sector. The Ministry of MICT, the Ministry of Information and Communication Technology, last week announced that they're going to innovate with AI tools at one of the media companies of the state, the newspaper. Now, the worst thing is they release it to the rest of us that are privately owned. The rest of us that are privately owned, some of us, like myself, have already got AI training. We've discussed many times about AI training, Hamut.
Yeah.
So now you're seeing a ministry and an SOE trying to innovate. There's nothing wrong. Please, I know. Some of our listeners will probably call in right now. There's nothing wrong.
With AI ambulances.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong. Even with that statement of AI ambulances, there's nothing wrong. However, there's a big hurdle. There's a big roadblock. Who's the entity that owns the AI programming that you're going to innovate with? Because I've never seen Ministry of Information and Communication Technology develop their own software programs. I mean, we don't even have cybersecurity legislation. So how could they develop it? We don't have, data protection. So how could they? How could they? How could they champion AI if they don't have the legislation in place? If they can't protect us, if they can't even protect their own side of the economy, how then do they expect to train someone on technologies if you don't have the legislation to work with? The legislation to protect, everyone and provide rights and provide digital protections. How then? How do you want to roll out an AI in a state-owned company? There is no efficiency that I can see. All I'm seeing is just to stay in tune with the trends, to stay in tune with the times, to stay in the know of the discussion. You don't have to use an AI.
Yeah, this whole AI discussion, though, not just in energy, but in all things that we are going to apply it on, it's going to raise a lot of it's going to become a national security issue really fast. That's a part of AI that no one, especially those ones in leadership, that they're not looking at it that way.
Yeah,
and before we continue, commercial break.
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 Namibian weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2:00 to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2:00. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We'll save at USAVE.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. We have 28 minutes left to the hour of six. Now, where was I? The AI and national security. Now, that always comes to my head every time that you ask questions like that. Like, okay, we can implement something that's running on AI to sort of like save everyone else. But where is this information going? Now, this is something that we don't think about a lot, even considering all the technology that we use. This is not just for Namibia, but for the entire African continent. We use Google services. We use a lot of tech coming out of the West, from Microsoft to browsers to computer chips themselves.
Yeah.
Now if you just look at the mega the big powers like China, for example, back in 2019, I don't think that was the first time they started banning at least from government offices electronic devices. I think that was mostly computers that are made outside of China, and the US basically does the same thing. They they look at their products very carefully and make sure that they are using, especially in the in government offices, as much American made products, because technology has become so sophisticated, it's kind of difficult to rely on anyone. If they say one thing that the Edward Snowden files, factor in Pegasus, the app that I think was, it's basically an espionage, government espionage software. Now, this isn't software that can be used for both good and bad, as in any tool. Now, this is a tool that, if it's bought by, a rational leader, it can, provide a lot of security for the citizens of that country. But it can also be used to crack down on political dissidents. Now, if we, when we live in the world, a world like
us. The media. Which includes us.
Censorship is it's a big check. What we are looking at is every dictator's dream world that we're building. So, when you look at it, all the information that you're using, where is it going?
Yep.
That doesn't mean that, everyone that has a bunch of hard drives or more like a cloud storage somewhere, that's a bubble ahead until you poked a pin in it and it blew up. There is no such thing as cloud storage.
There is no such thing.
Yeah, you are basically trusting someone's hard drive halfway across the planet somewhere in Silicon Valley.
And they are charging you, what's this thing that Google charges me? $2 a month for cloud storage. But it's actually expanded storage plus cloud.
Yeah.
Which is $2, $35 a month.
Yeah. So as a leader, I think if I was in leadership position,
yeah,
especially anywhere in the three branches of the government, especially in Namibia, for example, the first question I'll be asking myself is, what does AI mean for national sovereignty? Because back during, when everything had hard copies, if the president has papers in her office, it's just in her office. Mm. That's all. Unless someone sneaks in and steals them, these are hard copies. Someone cannot access them all the way from Vietnam. But right now, in one of his interviews, that's one thing Edward Snowden pointed out. That I was a chief administrator of this guy, so if I wanted to access Obama's email, I would have. Mm. Now.
He probably did.
I know I would have. I'm like, okay, you're excellent. What were you up to? Yes, but they call them Mr. President. This seems like your excellency is an African thing.
Hmm. Yes, it is.
Probably making mistakes left, right, and center. You still call him your excellency.
Yeah.
That's how he's going.
He shows up and he can't read the number. Hololo, 5,302 million.
And then he's blaming.
And then he even goes, hey, look at this number.
Listen carefully. He's blaming you for the fact that he can't pronounce them. That's why Trevor Noah, I think, homeboy is only seeing heaven through view once. Yeah.
Of course, he'll only see heaven through view once.
That's a terrible way to see heaven. Always say that,
Capture it with your mind's eye.
Yeah, you don't want me to capture it with my mind. My mind is not very heavenly.
But getting back onto
In terms of national sovereignty with the development of AI, I think that's a lot of questions. So back to energy, back to balancing energy provision, universal, in line with SDG 7.
Mm. But they didn't even cite the SDG yet, Yamu. We are connecting it.
We're just connecting it. Thank you for pointing that out. SDG is not actually pointed out in this conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, if it was on SDG level, believe me, the number of guys in attendance would be way over 47. When you look at it from energy provision for everyone, it brings up another interesting discussion. We need to invest at least globally in research and development energy wise. We need to invest a lot. The thing is, every time I make points like that, I get a headache because I know somewhere in Africa we are not doing that. Most likely not doing that. At least I hope we are.
But that's also where this efficiency discussion comes from. Because these 50 countries went and noted, and organizations, because the AU is there. I tried to, okay, was Namibia maybe there? If the AU is there, Namibia falls into the AU bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the African countries went there individually, like Nigeria and Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
So what they speak of, Helmut, is literally your efficiency starts from, so that's now from this conference that was held. Your efficiency starts with how do you generate the thing?
What's the source of your energy?
Energy. What, how do you generate the thing? Now, where does this efficiency discussion, where did we first talk about this? Remember the CBAM, the Carbon Border Adjustment Mechanism of Europe, the EU, of the EU.
Yeah.
It started from that particular scenario as well. Or it, in part, started from there as well. Because the International Energy Agency is citing COP28 that was held in UAE.
Yeah.
Remember where they established, everyone agreed on a loss and damage fund. And then the Emiratis, established this, their loss and damage fund, but it's been run like a private investment fund. And then everyone is like, that's not last year. Everyone was like, what are you doing, dude? Who said run this thing like a private bank? Why is it being run like a private investment mechanism? Do you know that, accounting lecturer from the UK that I sent you on, the video on, Richard Murphy.
Yeah.
You know, Murphy, he gives videos, he supplies videos, uploads videos every day on his YouTube channel. You know that he gave a discussion last week about dead money. This is not money of people that died. This is like savings money.
That's what I would have thought.
Yeah. This is savings money. Now, he calls it dead money. He says, Helmut, for you and me, the individual, there's nothing wrong with saving your money. There's nothing wrong. There is a problem if it's a pension fund, if it's a sovereign wealth fund, if it's a social security fund, if it's a, what else is there? If it's a large collective that is just saving money, just putting money away. He says, that is an issue, because what does that money do? When that money goes and invests in a new idea, it also adds to the inflation discussion in your economy. So it also increases prices in your country, potentially. If that money decides to go somewhere else, ne, let's say outside of your country, what you see is that that money is held, is causes an inflationary spike in that country. So every time this money just moves, and it's money that just, it just keeps accumulating. That's all it does. It just keeps accumulating for no reason. So when that money moves around, that money causes disturbances and disruptions.
Because it has piled up for a long time.
Plus also because obviously the people that want access to the money, for example, those that are like these venture capitalists that you have in the US, they, in many cases, inflate the actual value of things, of assets, of the new kinds of products that they want to bring out.
No wonder one economist lady, I think in the UK, calls them vulture capitalists.
Yeah. Do you know what's one of the problems that have been highlighted by this dead money in the global economy?
Yeah.
The sector, the product that you and I like, gaming.
Yeah.
Because of COVID, there was so much funding made available through these investment companies globally, because they realized so many people turned to gaming and to streaming services because you were just at home the whole time, and they saw the spike in earnings, and then everyone was talking like the gaming sector globally is like the latest hot property for investment strategy. And then obviously when the lockdowns cooled down, people started going out again. And then they started experiencing a dip in the products. So obviously there was a spike, and then there's now a decline.
Yeah.
Now at the decline side of things, there was a company known as the Embracer Group. They bought up, you know, the company that made Hitman, the games.
The game.
Square Enix. Square Enix. Embracer Group bought Square Enix. Ne? they bought Square Enix, and no one knew who Embracer was. And no one knew what they were trying to do. So what Embracer was doing was they were buying up all these small, these medium-sized game developers that had history, meaning history in the segment, history in the market, history in the industry.
Yeah.
Because you won't go and buy a newbie. You won't do what Facebook did with Instagram. The guys that created Instagram, they were newbies. They were new on the block. Embracer was a company of an investment fund company that wanted new products to generate market share. Now, what I'm explaining to you there is, Hamid, the company that owned Embracer did not think about the gamer, the consumer, the person, the people at the heart of the product. They didn't care. They just wanted to know how they could buy into this industry, dominate through an intellectual property, their corner or segment, market segment, and ultimately just keep on reaping the rewards.
That's a bad idea.
It was a bad idea because it's one of the things that Electronic Arts had been struggling with, because Electronic Arts was the guy that brought in the loot box system, which later on was categorized by the European Union as a gambling mechanism. Because how do you sell me a game, Helmut? How do you sell me a product, full price? Mm-hmm. And then you still tell me in the product, if I want the extra features, I need to pay this and I need to pay that and I need to pay this and I need to pay that. It's not like a Baki, where you know accessories. The word accessory means additional add-ons. You don't need these add-ons, but they're just additional add-ons.
If you have money for it.
For your customization. Yeah, it's a customization feature, but it's for you. It's up to you.
But you can still run the car that you bought.
The thing is still, the product is complete. The thing is whole. You can still use the product as is. No. Many of these gaming companies have been taken to competition commissions around the world, or consumer protection commissions around the world, for selling you half a product. For selling you a non-functioning product. Now, you and I know from commercial law, latent and patent defects are a major thing. But if you scam someone, and I'm using the word purposefully, scam, when you sell me a broken thing purposefully, if I press the play button and I don't see a loading screen and I can't play the first chapter or mission, that's not a complete product. Which is one of the things that happened with CD Projekt Red, the guys that made The Witcher series, because of Cyberpunk 2077. On game day launch, the guys on PlayStation and on Xbox were having a wonderful time enjoying a complete product.
Yeah.
But the guys on PC were seeing major glitches, major bugs, even the game bombing out completely. You know, you load the thing and then the thing just shuts down. And then it throws you out bug report that you have there, that bug splat, you know, sort of like pop-up window that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got that little thing. For no reason. Many customers were unhappy. Ubisoft, the same thing happened with them, with Assassin's Creed. What was that Assassin's Creed? The one in France. The one that I bought and I was laughing. You just see these floating eyeballs, you know, because the rendering, the engine in the game couldn't render, or wasn't rendering the graphics properly enough. And then you just see these floating eyeballs, or you see characters flying through windows like ghosts. Stuff like that. Or you jump, you know, Assassin's Creed has that mechanism where you've got to jump from certain high spots in the city. You jump and you see your character fly through the floor. In a perpetual loop that just goes round and round, you're falling continuously. Stuff like that. The customers didn't like that, Helmut. Now, what I'm highlighting to you there is that's what happens when you don't think about giving a complete product. The world is full of these examples. That's what happens if you don't give a complete product. Now, that's the reason why the IEA guys said people must be at the center of your energy efficiency development discussion. Now, I know I'm speaking about private sector, but this is a mixture of public and private.
You know what that means is, we all know what that means. Regulations.
It does, unfortunately. It does, unfortunately, speak of regulations.
And then it spills over into politics, and then it becomes a very sad story, because, now, Okay, this is somewhat something I'll I'll be covering tomorrow.
What you don't want to share now?
For Iceland, no, it's not a secret. Yeah, you see, for Iceland, I think for Iceland, the 2008 financial crisis, pieces of that very troubled economic domino started getting into place from the early 2000s. And one thing they saw was that, they had three state-owned banks, which were later privatized after the early, just in the earliest of the 2000s. Now, after that, these banks started borrowing, more money beyond, way out of proportion to, with the GDP. And then, a lot of regulators coming out of the U.S., a lot of the regulators, some of them coming out of the U.S., started giving these banks very high credit ratings, something they did not actually deserve, seeing that they were not doing something that was economic beneficial to the people.
Yeah.
Now that's just one of those very, very many examples coming out of the Western world where the first time when a bunch of private operators shows up, the first thing they do is start working in very cozy proximity with lawmakers so that they can deregulate everything and make more money for themselves and basically screw everyone else. But commercial break.
So, you've got everything sorted for tomorrow?
Yeah, man. Meat, spice, poik is ready. Even got some playlists lined up, bro.
And the crew? They're all coming, right?
Howie, everyone's in. It's gonna be lekker.
Wait. What about the tassies?
Bruh,
you can't get it without tassim, bruh. It's like cabana without salsa, dog. Tassim, bruh. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. 8 minutes to the hour of six. Now, where was I?
Yeah.
Now, before. Yeah, before we, before I get to where was I, let's take a live read.
This is the Via Vichea University September intake for 2025. All programs are fully accredited by the NQA. Certificate in Health Sciences are Foundation Level 4. This is a one-year full-time course available at all campuses. Certificate for Enrolled Nurse, Midwife or Accoucheur Level 6. This is a 2 years full-time course available in Windhoek, Nkurunkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, Katimamulilu and Otapi. Diploma in Environmental Health Sciences Level 6. This is a 2 years full-time course available in Windhoek. Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours. This is a 4 years full-time course available in Windhoek, Nkurunkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, and Katimamulilu. Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing, Level 8. This is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek. Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing, Level 8. This is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek. The application period is from 1 June to 30 June 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velviche University, where everyone is an achiever.
Welcome back. Where was I? Now, you know, when you look at it now, just coming back to Namibia from, you know, from the, and also back to 2025, is it most of these things, because I was in 2008.
Oh, you know, yeah. Yes.
Now, when you look at this.
I was wondering when you time travel.
When you look at this, the first thing that you see is, like you pointed out, before you start talking about, efficiency in energies, you know, in energy use, the first question you have to ask yourself is, are you supplying this? And, you know, to some degree, we already have these mechanisms in place. And that is, now, if you look at light bulbs, for example, you find those eco-friendly, like, you know, energy-efficient light bulbs that you still find in shops all around the world.
Mm.
And, you know, even here in Namibia, you find some light bulbs that are indicated as, you know, more efficient, like they consume less energy, but produces just enough light for you to use.
Mm.
Now, the question now comes down to, are you producing, do you have a reliable source?
Yeah.
And how affordable is it? And now, one thing that we have, you know, we've seen, especially in rural areas, at least I have seen, is that in a village, if your house is is one of those house, with a prepaid electricity box, everyone around you charges there. That's where they bring their cell phones. And now you have people that are just sort of like, well,
wait. Helmut, what corruption is this? No. Let's interrogate. What happens?
At the village?
Huh?
Oh, well, imagine a village with, take, for example, 5 to 10 homesteads.
Yeah.
But only 2 or 3 guys that have access to electricity.
And everyone comes to your house.
You're going to make a lot of friends. Be like, can I charge your, can I charge my phone?
And they drink your coffee.
Yeah, absolutely.
They want a glass of Coke.
Well, on the bright side, they come with a lot of stories, some of them fake. But just enough until the phone battery is full. But look, people listening.
Fake story.
Look, people listening from the village will understand this. Yeah, and some will come. Now you have some that will come maybe with three cell phones and 2 power banks. And I have one of those that HD described as industrial type power bank. Mm. But now all these things basically goes to show that electricity provision, we are still not there yet in terms of universal provision.
Mm.
And also the reliability of it, because if you're using solar panels, which is not available in the evening, and you don't have batteries to store it, which I find very confusing. Like isn't that like the first thing that comes in your mind when you buy a solar panel? Like you start trying to figure out, okay, before I buy a solar panel, how am I going to store this energy? Which is why people buy, especially at the villages, find that a lot. They buy, some of them will buy, you know, several car batteries and then link them together. Then they have, you can get, I think DC to AC converter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, A fully charged car battery, try directly connecting your phone with that. But before you do that, make sure you leave, last will and testament. Because, that thing is gonna explode. So it's not advisable, like at all. So the first thing, at least from a developing point standpoint, a developing country standpoint, a lot of countries in the global south, including Namibia, one thing we have to do is to figure out, how are we going to produce this electricity?
Mm.
Now, here's the thing. that's one. 2, the regulations part.
Yeah.
That regulation is going to matter a lot. Again, the West actually, unfortunately, is a very sad example of what happens when you let private sector loose. They start running the entire government.
Oh, yes. Not just that, Helmut. The best example is the UK. Public transport in the UK. A train. You can't buy a ticket to a functioning train in the UK.
What?
Not the underground metro system.
Yeah, the tubes, yeah.
I'm talking about between towns, between London and other cities. You can't.
Why?
Sometimes you'll be delayed because the, okay, and this is now the other aspect of the missing disinformation in the UK. But I listened to the union bosses who said that many times the private companies that are in charge of the UK's national railway system is like divided into three companies.
Private.
Have certain aspects of the national rail infrastructure and the trains they run. Some of the trains are unfit to commute and to transport people. Unfit, Helmut. Old locomotives or old trains that should have been decommissioned are still running. Just because they know that they can make maximum profit every time. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with making profits.
Yeah.
The downside is literally that the ugly side of something of just allowing the private sector to run wild obviously led to certain particular nasty examples that I came across.
Look, like you pointed out, letting the private sector, like you drew the comparison, giving everything to the private sector, you are looking at a draconian type of capitalism, like, you know, cutthroat capitalism being practiced. And where you see the point, to the point where you see, well, private sector, you know, influencing a lot of policy in policy making. If you let everything to the government, commercial break.
Tune in to the F&B segment every Monday morning from 7:45 a.m. live on Eagle FM for early morning dose of financial education and account protection. The F&B segment is proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia.
Kapena we paru e pena ombil kha ivole po ndando tsa Shoprite e la ra kanotse to o kukupa o ndando di ripevi mi pumbe wa ihe to pumbe es ko ke ge tara go di tere mo ma khine go nya go right brand long life ko dro mi rongo mbali nei mo no senda mi rongo go ino go pa sho ke ji mo shwa no tano ye package inte mo ya rumba ka defa yo real good ko dro mi rongo khari no go o senda mi rongo go ino go tinto ku futa shi vole se po ndando tsa Shoprite price viri kosgo mbali na gari ga yoni nuvo o go Shoprite ako.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Just a minute past the hour of six. So, the comparison here is one thing that you see is that you let the government, you know, the public sector run everything.
Yeah.
You are looking at a very sluggish system. You let the private sector run everything. You are looking at a very questionably in terms of fast, but also the prices are going to go through the roof.
Every year.
And then you are looking at even more deregulation and rampant corruption because you now have a bunch of guys in in parliament that are that has a paycheck. That's motivating them to push for pieces of legislation that every public person will be like, what does that have to do with everyone? Mm-hmm. Because it looks like it's only going to benefit so and so and so. Now, balancing it is, I think it's a nightmare for every leader, minus Putin and Xi. No, be like, PM, the boss. I don't know how they do it, but.
No, they allow their ministries to do their thing. I've realized there's one scenario here. And that's ultimately the downside of, what you can see can work in a country like the US and what cannot work in a country like Namibia.
Yeah.
We don't have the mentality like an American mentality where everything is just talking shop 24/7. Talking shop means you go home and you go talk to your family about your work. Your family, you know, Helmut, here in Namibia, your family will tell you, please shut up.
Oh, yeah.
We've heard enough. Please shut up. There must be something else you can talk about. Otherwise, just shut up. They'll tell you straight to your face, just shut up. Or someone will start throwing things at you. The moment you open your mouth, they'll ask you, are you going there? Yeah, but I want to tell you, but the good work, are you going really there? And that, unfortunately, is a culture that exists in the US.
Mm-hmm.
When you come to Africa, there is one side of doing things for the economy. And then people want to also enjoy how that economy functions for them. You don't want to walk around and you're trying to explain to an American why you in Namibia, you are conservative because you understand immigration laws in your country.
Mm-hmm.
You can see when someone illegally came over the border and you're going to say, I as a Namibian, I want that person deported. If that person doesn't have papers to be here,
yeah.
Deport or eject them. Throw them out. But in the US, there are literally people in that country that don't understand why immigration laws exist. And I'm talking about a basic example of things.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm saying there, Hamid, is literally a discussion like you highlighted, the regulation, deregulation of things.
Mm-hmm.
People take the deregulation of things to such an extreme that they can't even interpret that a law is a law. There is no, you are debating the how that impacts my life. That's not your job. That's mm-hmm. for lawyers and for the law reform.
Parliamentarians.
And for the parliamentarians. That's not your job. If you want to change, go and talk to a representative in the parliament. The discussion there is, as you can clearly see, the mentality, the culture, the thinking, the national identity. How do Namibians function in certain spaces and as opposed to others? How much we as Namibians, we could never live under a position, for example, like what the Chinese live under. You can't talk about politics in China.
Not just that.
Yeah.
We're in business and economic segment time, but look up something, why a lot of foreign workers have find it somewhat very tricky to adapt to a Japanese working culture. And it's the same with, at this point, just put it in Asian working culture, whether it's South Korea, Japan, or China, throw in India also in that box. And that's because they have a whole different working culture.
Yeah.
One that will send you and I to the Labor Commission every week.
Every day.
Be like, you know what? My boss have gone bananas.
We'll be fired every day for dumb things even for making jokes. We'll be fired every day, Hamud, in those countries.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So, when you look at it now, let's repeat this up this way. When we look at the energy projects that are being, that we have running in this country, whether it's wind or the green hydrogen, although that one is, you may as well just more say German, energy project.
Yeah.
Is it in line with the, effectiveness is not going to be as questionable is everyone going to be able to afford this energy? First of all, most, if not all of them, are private.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, are you going to tell them how much to sell their products?
No, you won't.
So then that brings up the IEA discussion of make the people the priority. It puts a giant question mark on that.
Yep.
You'll have to revamp your whole law, which will give you somewhat of a tighter regulation on how the private sector is operating. And when you bring that up, again, you have the economic principle of, what's that thing? Laissez-faire.
And you know what I realized, Hamid? 2 days ago, this was a shower thought. Or this was a bathroom thought. I always sit and think about work. At a relaxed time.
At this point, I have a brush. I'm going full Justin Bieber.
Just before we hand over to David, I thought about the aspect of, how could I forget? There, the ghost of thought, Helmut. Let's rather just end. The thought just flew out of the door.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Literally. And I'll remember it when we stand in the door.
Uh-huh.
And then David would start.
All right, until tomorrow.
I see you tomorrow again, guys. Same time, same place.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi todaya njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarude dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamoili nawa. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu. Heali bali no heali ile kongerewa. Nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu. Oma filane Eagle FM. The Eye.